Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Our scripture today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So the story is told of the pastor who came to his new congregation and preached a fabulous message. And the people were thrilled and enthralled, and when they left out, they were all telling the pastor how good he did, what a great day it was. The next Sunday, he preached the same sermon. And the people were a little bit confused by that. Maybe, he got the wrong page in his planner or whatever it was. But he preached the same sermon, and the people, well, it's just as good this week as it was last week. So thanks be to God. The third week came, he preached the same sermon. The fourth week, same sermon. Fifth week, same sermon. Over and over and over. Finally, about 3 months later, the deacons had a meeting. And they said, "Preacher, we're paying you to preach, but we ain't paying you to preach the same sermon over and over and over again." And the preacher said, "When y'all start living the first sermon, I'll go to number two." Thank you for that. Whoever clapped, thank you for that. I think that's a great story. And the reason I tell you that story today is because the scripture that we're looking at today is the scripture we looked at on June the 1st, my first Sunday with you. Some of what I have to say today comes from the listening sessions that we did, and at some point in the near future, I'll give a report to you on the whole of that. But I thought it would be a good time to revisit where we have been and where we are. Finally, beloved. I love that word. We don't say beloved enough. But you are God's beloved. And together we are God's beloved. And we should claim that and live that. Whatsoever things are true or honest or just or pure or lovely or good, if there is anything excellent and worthy of praise, think on these things. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi and to the church at Greystone this day. Because it's easy to be a critic. It's easy to be negative. It's easy to be Eeyore. But Paul says, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. And I want to challenge you again to do that, to reframe your view, your worldview, and your church view to think on the things that are worthy of praise. Jim Collins, wonderful writer on corporate life, says, "Good is the enemy of great." Good is the enemy of great. Actually, good enough is the enemy of great. This morning, as I was working on my head, my hair just wouldn't cooperate. And finally, I said, "Oh, it's good enough." So some of you might notice a patch back here in the back that I couldn't quite get to, and please don't tell me about it when you leave out this morning. It's good enough. This carpet, we've had it for years. Oh, it's good enough. This sound system, even though we can't hear every word, it's good enough. That projector, it's not working at all. But it must be good enough because it's still up there. We settle for good enough when God wants us to embrace excellence. Seth Godin, another one of my heroes, asked this question: what would happen if we all did just a little better? What would happen if we all did just a little better? In Philippi, the church was struggling. Paul had personally planted this congregation. He had come to Philippi, he had done missionary work, he had found 10 or 12 brave souls that wanted to gather together and chase this new way of living. And so 10 or 12 of them came and they met down in the back alley back behind the storefront where nobody could see them. Because if they had, the Jews would have been after them and the Romans would have been after them and their families were already after them. It was a three-way tug of war and this little band of courageous Christians were standing together, sort of. We know it was a Baptist church because there were divisions in the church. My goodness, there weren't but 12 folks, but there were 14 opinions. What would happen if we just did a little better? And Paul says to the Corinthians, stop doing those negative things and embrace the goodness of God. As April reminded us, not every day is a good day. Not every day do I want to embrace the goodness of God. Some days stink. I know where you went with that. Some days just stink. And so when they do, just acknowledge that they do, but think on the excellence that God has given us. Critics are all around us. You turn on any news channel you want, with any letters you want, and the critics abound. And the critics abound to cast doubt on some part of the system. And when the doubt begins to raise up, fear comes in. And Paul says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Of power. And so on the bad days, think of the goodness of God. On the stressful days, think of the goodness of God. In the midst of challenge, think on the goodness of God. I know that it's hard, but that is the challenge. When you come through that door or that door or those doors, you come filled with the goodness of God. And we stand together on equal ground before the cross, Paul says. There is no Jew nor Greek. There is no male nor female. There is no free or slave. We are all equal across the foot of God. So when you come in those doors, check your agenda before you come in. There are some of us who are moderate Republicans, yet they choose to sit in the pew with us. There are some of us who are radical Democrats, yet they choose to sit in the pews with us. There are some of us who don't know what we are. We used to know what we are, but we don't have a clue what we are anymore. And we choose to sit in these pews too. So check your agenda at the door, because when you come in here, you are the body of Christ. Turn off your critic. Turn off your voice of judgment. There's a huge difference between being a critic and being a critical thinker. Paul says, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Lord of mercy, we could pick this place apart. I wish I could have been a critic. I'd have been a great critic. Food critic, what a tough job. Movie critic, TV critic, church critic. If there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Critics tear down. Critical thinkers build up. Critics pass judgment harshly. Critical thinkers pass judgment to measure for improvement. Critics make it personal. Critical thinkers make it corporate. Critics are all about me over you. Critical thinkers are about us together. So when you come in those doors, you come in here as the body of Christ, and you lay down your agenda, whatever it might be. And we pass the peace of Christ to one another as brothers and sisters of the body. Critics are always talking about what has been, while critical thinkers are always looking at what can be. I am reminded that several years ago, there was an exodus from this congregation. And I know that some of you had friends who disagreed with you and could not check their agenda at the door, and they chose to leave. And I know that was painful, and I know that was hurtful. And I know for some of you, you're still confused about why that would happen. If there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. I know for many of you, the pain is still there of that exodus. And in a few weeks, we're going to think even more closely about the healing aspect of that. But for now, remember that we are all the body of Christ. Whether you agree with me in the parking lot or not, in here, we are the body of Christ. You, as the remnant, and I know some of you thought of yourselves as the remnant, and I know some of you wrung your hands and thought, oh my God, what is going to happen to us? Well, look around, Greystone Church. Look around. Go ahead. Look. Look at the remnant. You don't look like a remnant to me. You look like a vibrant body of Christ. Somebody.
Amen.
Thank you. You, as the remnant, re-roofed this entire facility. Several years ago, you were wringing your hands wondering, oh God, what is going to happen to us? I guess we should just re-roof the church. And you paid cash for it. So don't tell me there's just so much we can do. Don't tell me the resources here are limited. Don't tell me, well, we're just a remnant barely hanging on by the shingles on the roof. You are raising over $800,000 for the capital campaign. You're going to raise more than $800,000 for a remnant that ain't too shabby. You have taken a clear stand about partnering with people who are supporting and caring for immigrants and refugees. You have taken a stand about working for people in the LGBTQ community. You have said we are going to be a safe place for people who are being pushed and pulled and tugged from every corner. Thanks be to God that the remnant is still here. I have challenged you to give more than 1% more in your own personal giving. If we all give 1% more in our personal giving, you'll have enough to re-roof another roof. Maybe fix a projector. It's good enough. 1% giving, we're doing well with our finances. You don't have to worry about the finances of the church. We're doing well. The Pastor Search Committee is formed and working together. They like each other. Two weeks ago, we ordained new deacons and blessed our Pastor Search Committee as they begin their work. You've had joiners in the interim. You are a great church who can't accept the blessing. It's hard to be excellent when being bombarded by so much conflict. But I say to you, shake the dust off your feet, church, and be the body of Christ. Several years ago, it was my honor to be the pastor for the all-girls camp. About 120 girls, young girls, came to camp every week all summer long, and different pastor people came in to be the pastor, and I was the camp pastor. And Wednesday night was always the service of accepting Christ or rededicating yourself to Christ or claiming Christ. And so the sermon was short and simple, and the invitation was given to come to Christ. And there was a young, beautiful little redheaded girl that sat on about the third row here and wept during the Kumbaya song. Y'all sang it much better than we sang it that night. She cried all the way through. But she never moved. Later that evening, there was a knock on my cabin door, and her counselor was with her and asked if they could speak to me. And they came in. I had a little den area and then the bedroom, and we sat in the little den area and said, "Lisa has a problem. She doesn't think anyone could love her." Turned out she was a victim of abuse in her family. And the last thing she could comprehend was the love of Jesus. The last thing she could comprehend was that anyone could love her. And I said to her, "Lisa, you are such a beautiful young woman. I've watched you all week. You have good friends. You laugh. I've watched you work during the chore time. You're an amazing girl." We prayed, and she left. And I thought, man, it's hard to be the pastor of the church camp. On Friday night, as we were singing, Lisa came forward and she said, "If you think Jesus could love me, then I need Jesus to love me." And she fell into my arms and wept some more. And I wept, and the counselor wept. And you know how it goes at camp. Once tears start coming, everybody starts weeping. But on that particular night, this little 12-year-old girl who didn't think anybody could love her received the love of Jesus. Church, you are a great church. You are a great church. And I challenge you to receive the blessing. If there is anything good, if there is anything pure, if there is anything excellent and worthy of praise, think on these things. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for a new roof. So that every time we come into this facility, we see what the Spirit of God can do among us. Thank you, God, that we are a sanctuary church so that people who are hurting and pushed and pulled can find a safe place here. Thank you, God, that we are a church that demands social justice in the world and provides a safe place for people of every alphabet persuasion to have a place. Thank you, God, for these who come so faithfully to make Greystone a great church. Help us, God, to receive the blessing. In the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.